This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
Welcome to the Corlin Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in companies' profile. Now, the Corlin Economics Report.
Oh, welcome in. You are listening to the weekend edition of the KE Report. My name is Corey Fleck, and I am your host for the first hour. In the first hour, we are going to focus a fair bit on the U.S. equity markets and that almost continued melt-up that we keep on seeing, especially at the end of the week. But we are also going to dive a little bit into the resource sector. As always, for all the listeners on the radio, I highly recommend downloading our podcast or coming to our website, kereport.com, and listening to the full segments that get posted in the weekend show posting due to radio restrictions. I just can't fit all that content into those radio segments. So again, you can get those full interviews on our website and podcast. I am kicking off this weekend show with Rick Bensignor. Rick writes the Bensignor Investment Strategies. I really always have time for what Rick has to say. And Rick, where we're going to start here is on the U.S. equity markets. You have been on board for this rally on these U.S. markets, even when it was starting to get a little extended or people were saying it had gone on for too long. You were on this show saying there's still more room for these markets to move up. And at the tail end of this week, the S&P finished on Friday over 2,900. It moved up over 0.5% just on Friday alone. What do you think? Is it finally run its course, these U.S. equity markets, or is there still more upside here?
Well, Corey, first of all, thanks for having me on again. I always enjoy talking with you, too. To answer the question, do I think there's more to go? I think there probably is, and the way I've got clients positioned is that for long-short books, and for me to explain that to perhaps the non-Wall Street listener, lots of hedge funds set their kind of structure up to be both long stocks and short stocks, generally in the same sector, such that they take the market direction out of the picture. It's simply through analysis, betting that stock A will do better than stock B. And as an example, if you were, let's say, long Coca-Cola and short Pepsi, or long Home Depot and short Lowe's, those are natural pair trades. They're in the same space. And then if you have a long and short position on at the same time with two stocks that are very similarly related, it matters less which way the whole market moves and becomes more important on just which one will rally more in an up market or which one will go down less in a down market. So a lot of hedge funds are structured that way. For those, we've been long all year and continue to tell them to stay net long. And these funds don't have to be zeroed out in exposure. In other words, they don't have to have $100 long for every $100 short. They often can minimally play a direction to the market if they think the market generally is going to go higher. Their book will, they'll have more long exposure on than they'll have short exposure. And that's what we've been telling them. So for the entire year, we've been more long than short in long short books. And that's what makes up a large portion of hedge funds out there. For the long only crowd, which is the mutual funds, essentially long only is another way of saying a fund that needs to be invested almost 100% all the time. We've been nonstop long with them. Only for tactical traders did we lighten up near 2,800. And so for the last 100 points, we haven't had a bias other than the market is generally moving higher. And I don't have any reason to tell you to be short, but I've also in the last 2 weeks gotten cautiously bullish, meaning I'm still bullish, but, you know, with more caution now. So less willing to commit new long capital into the market versus riding the profits and the longs that we've already gotten you into over the last several months. So in general, do I think the market can still move higher? I do. I'll tell you the most of the fundamental stories that have been out there for why you should be concerned that potentially next year or the year after a recession is coming, whether it's inverted yield curve and all the other things that the bears have been touting, what I would say is it's the same story they've been saying all year. So for the three and a half months that 2019 has already been happening and it has occurred, most of the bears have been bearish all along. And maybe their story pans out and maybe not, but they've certainly missed 300 to 400 points up in the S&P, which I don't want to do. So, and I don't think I'd be serving clients trying to estimate and give all the reasons why a recession is at hand or could happen at any moment or sometime next year and why you shouldn't be in stocks, because we have very defined levels also that if stocks get under certain, if the S&P gets under certain levels, we definitely want to lighten up exposure. So I rather play for the bull market that is at hand, the bull market that, as far as we told our clients, never went away in December. We have no evidence in any of the models we look at that the S&P or NASDAQ went into bear markets the way the press would have told you, because the S&P got 20% down in December from its all-time high, and NASDAQ got 23%. But the models we used did not say or indicate that we had actually entered a bear market. So by early January, and I think I mentioned this a month ago or so, the last time I was on your show, is that by early January, we told our clients that the December bottom at Christmas time was not just a good trading low for the S&P, but actually the low for all major global equity indices. And that's the call that was probably the most important call it made this year, because it has kept us long for virtually the entire move up. We simply missed 1.25% on one tactical short that was near 2,800 and or just beneath, I think, 2,782 is where we shorted, and we paid 2,917 or 18, something like that. So a little over a percent we lost, and that's it. Otherwise, I've been long. I continue to be long, and I'm not worried that the market's going to have a significant sell-off, nor that we would in any way, shape, or form test the December lows. I just don't see it. And I think that the amount of people on the street who have been saying bear market because of that December sell-off, that's the perfect case of the market faking out people and getting them to lean the wrong way before the truer move would take place. And this is, you know, this is not a one-time only occurrence in markets. This happens many times. In this case, all you have to do is look at a chart over the last 6 months and what the market's done. And despite the week and a half sell-off going into the Christmas low that was severe and strong and quick, it's been straight up since. And anybody who clings to it's a bear market, I mean, we're less than, a percent or so, percent and a half away from all-time highs. How do you say it's a bear market? And yet I still see people quoted in the press and on, you know, the business television stations who are still carrying on about a bear market that we're in it. And this is the dead cat bounce. Well, this is one heck of a dead cat bounce, if that's what it is.
All right, Rick, that wraps us up for this first segment. But as I said on the onset, everyone come visit our website, kereport.com, and listen to the full interview that I had with Rick Bensinger. Everyone, I'm going to be right back.
Al Corlin's firm, A.B. Corlin & Associates Incorporated, provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back after this brief timeout.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Many people believe they don't control their own destiny because they haven't chosen to take the first step towards the life they've always dreamed of. Let them continue just getting by while you make the choice to do something about your future. Imagine working from home, earning the income you deserve. Start small or dream big. Work part-time or full-time. You choose the pace. Just visit startlivingyoung.com. That's startlivingyoung.com. And click on the Be Your Own Boss tab. Discover Juness, a state-of-the-art global health products company that spent 5 years on the Inc. 5,000 fastest-growing private companies in America list. With over $1 billion a year in sales, they'll provide all the tools you need to thrive and succeed. And you'll be blown away by how little it takes to get started. Visit startlivingyoung.com today and click on the Be Your Own Boss tab at the top of the page. 2019 will be the year your new life begins. Your destiny awaits at startlivingyoung.com.
This is George Norrie from Coast to Coast AM and History Channel's Ancient Aliens. We support the amazing energy, nutrition, and skincare products from Jeunesse. Jeunesse products are designed by leading doctors in their field with natural ingredients and even stem cell technology. These products help your body perform and look better. Shop Jeunesse at GCNLife.com or call 1-844-443-6637. GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Now, there is Reveal. Beverly Hills celebrity dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman took nearly a decade to develop Reveal from natural botanicals to return to a full body head of hair. Reveal for men and women with a 30-day money-back guarantee at GCNLife.com or toll-free 844-443-6637. 844-443-6637. Reveal at GCNLife.com.
It's been said, any society is only 3 missed meals away from chaos. Those times may be near. Think about it. Our country faces multiple terrorist threats and aggressions from Russia and North Korea. Social unrest and violent marches yet again may lead to looting of stores and city shutdowns. And our crumbling infrastructure leaves our power grid vulnerable to long-term outages from a single cyber attack. When the chaos from any one of these threats arises, the government knows it can't provide during a widespread national emergency. That's why you need your own plan for self-reliance. That's where My Patriot Supply comes in. Get a 4-week survival food supply for only $99. That includes breakfast, lunches, and dinners. Order online at preparewithgcn.com. $99 for 4 weeks of survival food that tastes like homemade cooking and lasts up to 25 years from My Patriot Supply. Get your kits today at preparewithgcn.com. Free shipping is included. Preparewithgcn.com.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and sling bows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Oh, welcome back. Continuing to listen to the first hour of the weekend edition. I hope everybody enjoyed the conversation I just had with Rick Bensinger. I have to say he has been pretty spot on in terms of the broad averages and how that recovery has gone on longer than most people have thought. But Rick has been on board with a lot of that recovery. In this segment, I am chatting with Adrian Day. He is the CEO of Adrian Day Asset Management. And Adrian, we will get into some of the resource companies that you like and that have been performing pretty well. But first, I want to follow up on that conversation I had with Rick, and that is the strength generally in the broad averages. The broad markets continue to do quite well. While they haven't quite reached all-time highs, we are seeing certain sectors perform quite well. One sector that you have outlined to us before with a couple stocks you've been looking at are dividend stocks. And quite frankly, when we have a market like we do right now with low and declining rates, dividend stocks benefit. Can you share some of your recent strategies in terms of the broad averages first?
Yeah, absolutely. And thank you for having me, Corey. Now, I'm sorry I haven't listened yet, obviously. By its nature, I haven't listened to a previous interview. So I'm not quite, you know, I hope I don't contradict or repeat something he said. But yeah, I think the main thing about the broad averages to remember is that the U.S. economy is still doing relatively well compared with the rest of the world. U.S. interest rates are still very attractive relative to the rest of the developed world. And so the U.S. remains, and the U.S. markets remain, a prime destination for global investors. Add to that, of course, there's no shortage of money around. The Fed has been printing money like crazy for the last, 11 years now, 10 years, 11 years, and there's no shortage of money. So, you know, I'm a fundamentalist. I look at valuations, but we also have to remember other things like psychology and just, frankly, how much money is available to go into the market. And at the moment, there's no shortage. So, you know, we saw that big sell-off at the end of last year, primarily because of continued Fed tightening, so-called tightening. I put tightening in quotes. When the Fed this year repeatedly said that, you know, we're probably done with raising rates for the time being, Powell, the Fed chairman, said there has to be a reason for us to raise rates going forward, that tells us that the bias is towards easing. And I, like most people, I think, suspect that the next move in interest rates later this year will be down, not up. So, you know, so people obviously came back into the stock market. Now, you know, you mentioned there's obviously the whole market's doing well. You mentioned one sector in particular, the business development companies. These are companies that lend money to small businesses. I've been a big fan of this sector for a long time because, you know, the yields tend to be very attractive for retail investors. The stocks can be volatile, but if you're buying these stocks for the income, and you have a long-term view, what I say to people is just ignore the volatility. You know, if you get 7 or 8%, and you get 7 or 8% on an annual basis for the next 10 or 15 years, it doesn't really matter whether the stock goes up or down or what in the meantime. Obviously, you need to look carefully at the individual companies. What are they investing in? You know, are they first lien, second lien, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. The most important thing for people to look at, I think, is the dividend covered by earnings, and the metrics that these companies use is net operating income. So is it covered by, we can call it earnings if you want, but is it covered by earnings or is it covered by net income, net investment income, rather? That's the important thing. You don't want a company that's paying a dividend out of capital, because I'll have to cut it at some point. But, you know, I mentioned when we were chatting earlier, one of my favorites is a company called Glasson Investment. And, you know, I mentioned how these stocks have done very well recently. This was trading under $9 at the end of the year. Now trading $12.30, basically. So it's had a really good run this year. It was obviously, the whole sector was particularly depressed at the end of last year on the tightening, because as interest rates move up, companies that are basically dividend payers and that people buy for the dividend obviously become less attractive, just like bonds go down when interest rates go up. Now that interest rates have stabilized and look as though they might be heading down, people have come back into the sector. So it all makes logical sense. But I mentioned the big run in the stock. It's now selling at the high price since 2008. So a lot of investors might say, well, yeah, I'm not sure I want to look at that. But, or I want to buy that at this point. And you know me well enough, Curry, to know that I don't like chasing stock prices. So we miss out on quite a lot because we don't, we don't chase stock prices. But you look at this company, it's yielding well over 7%, and that's covered by their net income that they earn on both the loans that they make and also on equity kickers that they get. So if you can get 7.5% on a solid company where the dividend, has increased, it will increase, they've already announced it in June of this year, and then in September of last year, and then in March of last year. So you can see that the dividend, not only is it covered by income, but it has consistently and repeatedly increased. I mean, as they say, what's not to like? If you want income, what's wrong with buying this now, knowing that in a market sell-off, the stock might come down a bit, but the dividend will still be paid? And very quickly, another one, if I may, is Ares Capital. I mean, Ares, which is the largest of these BDCs, it's about a $6 billion market cap, $7 billion market cap. But their dividend is an astonishing 9.1%, fully covered by net income. And they also have just increased the dividend twice last year. And they've also paid additional special cash dividends. Sorry, these are dividends that have already been announced but haven't been paid yet. So this year, they will be paying an extra 8 cents in four different dividends. On a company that has a 39-cent quarterly dividend, an extra 8 cents is meaningful. So we're looking at a better than 9% dividend yield. Again, if you're looking for income, that's tough to beat. Sorry, Corey, I answered that rather more extensively than you probably expected.
All right, Adrian, unfortunately we are out of time for the segment on the radio, but you and I are going to continue this discussion moving into the resource sector. If everybody wants to listen to the full interview, please just visit our website, kereport.com, and click on that weekend show posting. The full interview will be uploaded early morning on Saturday. Adrian, great chatting with you. Everyone, stick around. I am going to be right back.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Let me ask you something. What are you doing when you put money in a 401k or IRA? Or store jumper cables in your vehicle, or purchase health insurance? You're preparing. You're preparing to ensure you have enough money for retirement. You're preparing for when your car battery dies, or to have assistance paying a major unexpected medical bill. That all makes sense. The same goes for building a food storage plan. You're preparing for when emergencies or disasters strike and shelves go empty at your grocery store. The best way to prepare is with My Patriot Supply. They've helped a million hardworking Americans become more self-sufficient. My Patriot Supply sells hundreds of items, including dozens of emergency food kits, at MyPatriotSupply.com. It could be an earthquake, a cyber attack freezing our banking system, or a disaster that shuts down our power grid for weeks. For all these emergencies and more, get your supplies and prepare today at MyPatriotSupply.com. No more rushing to find empty store shelves because you're too late. Do it now so you're ready. MyPatriotSupply.com.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
President Trump has lit a political firestorm, admitting that the administration has discussed the idea of moving migrant detainees to cities that protect illegal immigrants. He wants to bring a change to the immigration policy.
California certainly is always saying, oh, we want more people, and they want more people in their sanctuary cities. Well, we'll give them more people. We can give them a lot. We can give them an unlimited supply.
California is home to several sanctuary cities which refuse to cooperate with federal immigration officials. The president's position appeared to catch DHS officials off guard. Critics say the president is using migrants as pawns to go after political opponents. Democratic presidential contender Pete Buttigieg has blasted Vice President Mike Pence's cultural and religious conservatism. Pence said they used to have a great working relationship. This is USA Radio News.
There's no question you need omega-3s. But which form should you take? Fish oil or krill oil? Scientists have debated this for years. Luckily, there's a new solution to satisfy everyone. It's called Krill Omega 50 Plus. It combines ultra-pure fish oil and joint-soothing krill oil together in just one tiny pill. It's so powerful, it can promote the health of your heart and your arteries. And if that wasn't enough, it can also boost your joint comfort in just days. We're so sure Krill Omega 50 Plus will work for you. We'll even send you a free bottle to put to the test. The debate is over. It's not fish oil or krill oil. It's both. And now it's free. Just pay $4.95 for shipping and claim your free bottle. Call now. 1-800-399-6392. 1-800-399-6392. That's 1-800-399-6392.
If you owe money to the IRS, you need to hear this. The IRS is cracking down on those who owe back taxes. It starts with a devastating letter, and if you don't act immediately, you could find yourself having your wages garnished or have a lien placed on your property. But there's a solution. Tax 10,000 can help. Avoid enforced compliance, where these holds on your income and seizure of your home could become a nightmare that just won't end. Call 800-239-9957 now and speak to one of our experts. 800-239-9957 is the number to link you directly to a tax resolution specialist who will negotiate with the IRS on your behalf. Working through the IRS Fresh Start program, all the forms will be handled for you. All you have to do is make the toll-free call. 800-239-9957. Find out if you qualify and possibly save yourself thousands of dollars, not to mention a lot of headaches. It could be the best call you've made today. That number again, 800-239-9957. The service does not provide tax settlement or legal services. We will refer you to a company that does provide such services. Often the IRS will not agree to any reduction in the amount owed. Not all taxpayers who owe more than $10,000 will qualify for a tax reduction program.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Oh, welcome back. Continuing to listen to the first hour of the weekend edition. And I hope everybody enjoyed that slightly longer segment with Adrian Day. In this segment, I am chatting with Dana Lyons, fund manager based out of Chicago. And Dana, let's start off by talking about these U.S. equity markets, because I really do think that this is the story that everybody needs to be watching as these markets continue to trend higher, looking to break out to new all-time highs. But even some of the conversations I had this week and even on Friday with Chris Kimball, as he pointed out, the recovery, especially in the tech sector, has been broad-based. We're not seeing just a few isolated stocks or sectors lead these markets higher. What do you have to say about still what seems like the path of least resistance for the U.S. markets is higher?
Yeah, that's correct, Corey. We saw, obviously, off the December low, we saw what they term a breath thrust. It's just extraordinarily wide participation in that bounce off of the low, which almost invariably suggests longer term gains. So we saw a nice, healthy consolidation at the end of February for about a month or so. Saw small caps, broad indices run into resistance right where they should have. But following about 4 or 5 weeks of consolidation, we saw over the last, 2 weeks, we've seen a nice, healthy, strong bounce off of there. Broad and small cap measures overcoming resistance, and they look to be pretty much lining up the next leg in this rally from those December lows. At the same time, obviously, you see the large caps have at the same time did slow down in their pace after that late February top, if you will. But they've continued on their way, and it doesn't look like there's anything preventing them from at least testing those highs from last year, and likely maybe after a short consolidation, probably moving to new highs.
So does this change the overall outlook to a more bullish playbook? I know you and I have been chatting about reading or playing off of a more bearish playbook, but now with the strength we're seeing in the markets, is there a change coming?
I think that maybe just the timetable of it. I think after that, the breath thrust and the participation that we saw in the early part of the rally, that changed somewhat the expectations for this rally. Right now, obviously, the large caps look like they are poised to test and go to new highs. But we would not, still would not dismiss the possibility that in the broad market that the fourth quarter was the first shot. The first salvo in a possible longer-term bear market. They still have lots to prove. The broad markets issues I'm referring to and the indices still have much to prove as far as long-term getting back to new highs and extending the long-term bear market or bull market, excuse me. So the jury's still out on that. Would not throw out the idea that we did start a broad-based bear market in the fourth quarter, but in the near term, in the intermediate term, nothing to tell us that this upleg is over. This intermediate term rally post December is over. So right now the trend is up, and we continue to ride that and continue to buy dips.
So Dana, do you consider at all that already this year we have something like the S&P up 15%? That's a pretty good 1 year move for the broad average, the S&P, rather than just a 3.5 to 4 month move.
Yeah, true, but you have to look at where they're coming from. We were deeply oversold, historically oversold at the end of December, so half of that move is probably just, reverting, wiping out some of those the excessively oversold levels and reverting back to the mean to some extent. So it has been an impressive start to the year, but that's the danger of using calendar points as your point of reference. It depends where you're coming from in terms of where you're starting your rally and where you're starting your performance measures, because the calendar doesn't necessarily line up with key junctures in the market. So yes, it's been impressive, but we were very oversold coming into the year.
Very good point. And I think sometimes people get a little too stuck on certain time frames or looking at too short term of charts. But you are right. That sell off at the end of the year did bring the markets into extreme oversold positions. Now, also, what about the fact that if we do see, say, the S&P break to all time highs, do you think that brings in even more trend and momentum followers with almost that FOMO mentality that could drive the markets even higher after that break happens?
You're probably right. It's going to draw in more money either way, whether it's smart money trend followers that's going to push it and extend it sustainably higher is another question. Certainly going to get Johnny come latelys to the rally, and we see investors of all stripes usually chasing price. So whether it's down and selling at the bottom or chasing prices higher, chasing breakouts, you're going to see that, whether that ends up being a good move or not and how long that move is extended, it remains to be seen. But certainly breakouts will suck more money into the market.
All right, let's move focus and talk a little bit about the bond market. Bonds had a nice rally at the tail end of last year and even into this year, driving yields lower. But we've seen a little bit of pullback in terms of bonds, and that's helped yields move slightly higher. Still, the yields are still very much at a low range, though. What do you think about the opportunities that the bond market might be presenting after this couple-week sell-off?
We've discussed many times our view on the long-term interest rate cycle. We think some 60-year cycle bottomed in the summer of 2016. So we think rates generally are going up for probably the next several decades. That said, on an intermediate term basis, bonds are still in a rally mode. And I think there's still, especially in the 10-year, still a little bit more downside to go in yields, upside in prices. So for the moment, in the near term, I think any pullbacks in price, any bounces in yields are probably represent dips to be bought. So we would continue even in the short term here buying dips in bonds as well.
Okay, so you're saying that even with this recent pullback, this could be an opportunity because, again, I guess kind of with the U.S. equity market, you're also seeing the path of least resistance for the bond market as being up.
Correct. I would take this recent bump up in yields. I would take that as a buying opportunity in the bond market.
All right. Let's also move over to commodities in general. You recently posted a chart that outlined where the commodity sector is or where it was going. Unfortunately, still in this pretty long-term downtrend dating the whole way back to about 2008 or 2009. A recent test of this downtrend line is occurring right now. How do you think this all plays out?
Similar to bonds, although it's not as consistent in a longer-term cycle, but longer-term, the trend is still lower, I think, in commodities, in the broad-based commodity indices, and probably in crude as well. That said, in the intermediate term, obviously, the trend is up, so until that, at least in crude oil, is up. So the benefit of the doubt is still the upside, but I think we would argue that probably that intermediate-term bounce, that post-December bounce in crude oil, has just about run its course. So we'd certainly be taking a long exposure off the table in crude oil at this point, and generally we'd be sellers of major rallies in the commodity market, and expecting over the long term, expecting more of a downward move in commodities than anything to the upside.
Okay. Well, we're going to wrap it up there, Dana. It's always great having you on the show. I appreciate all of your comments, and I appreciate you taking time over the weekend to share all these markets that we have discussed today. Dana, have a great rest of your weekend, and everybody stick around. I'm going to be right back to wrap up the show with Jeff Christian. Thanks, Dana.
Thanks, Corey.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
By now you know that wireless technology like cell phones do in fact pose dangers to the health and privacy of everyone. Lockit Pocket's wide range of products are unmatched in providing the protection you deserve. No scare tactics, just common sense. LockitPocket.com offers quality American-made options to alleviate and eliminate these invisible dangers. Learn more at LockitPocket.com or call 888-315-9618. LockitPocket.com, enhancing health and privacy.
Know someone with a drinking or drug problem? Learn how to get sober after we share these stories.
I was 35 with two beautiful children when my life and addiction started to spiral out of control. After my divorce, I went into a depression cycle and started drinking more often and using prescription drugs. After my second DWI and arrest, my ex-husband threatened to take our children away from me.
I was 17 when I became addicted to heroin and meth. I thought I could quit on my own, but I couldn't. It hit me when I was arrested.
Get sober now. Your private insurance may cover costs, and we'll get you here. It's simple. Just call Elite Rehab Placement right now, please. Don't wait. Your life matters to us.
800-213-9264. 800-213-9264. 800-213-9264. Call right now before it's too late. 800-213-9264.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
$1,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Bags under the eyes, crow's feet, fine lines and wrinkles are things adults complain about as they age. Now, there's Instantly Ageless. It works in minutes and is great for men and women.
I've probably noticed in the past 5 years that my eyes have gained a lot of fine lines, wrinkles, my crow's feet have gotten deeper. Wow. I was hoping for 5 years, but that's like what my eyes looked like 10 years ago.
That is really cool. Wrinkle gone?
It's easy. Just put it on your finger and go. Now I wish I had more down here because I can still see one wrinkle. It's bugging me.
I am a little bit emotional. Turning 40, I didn't think would be a big deal to me, but that looks like the me that I feel like inside instead of what I see when I look in the mirror.
Try Instantly Ageless today at GCNLife.com. That's GCNLife.com. 30-day money-back guarantee and preferred price discount at GCNLife.com. That's GCNLife.com.
Welcome back here to wrap up the first hour of the weekend edition. I am wrapping up this hour with Jeff Christian. He is the managing partner over at the CPM Group. We're going to be focusing a lot on resource and precious metals sectors, but we're also going to be talking kind of in a broad sense of what some of these more overwhelming issues are for this sector. First, though, Jeff, it feels like every day we wake up, we look at the markets, and throughout the day we're looking at the metals markets, and what we continue to see is range-bound moves. This week was a great example of gold moving slightly higher, just above 1,300, and then at the end of the week, or middle to tail end of the week, dropping below 1,300, and quite frankly, you pull up that monthly chart, and you see this boring, range-bound, sideways trade that the metals have been in for a long time now. Have you ever seen any other metals markets that are similar to this time frame where it's just been a boring sideways move?
Yeah, we have seen it. Late 1983, 84, we saw this kind of becalmed gold and silver prices. We saw it again in 1995, 1996, into early 1997, where the markets become sort of range bound. And I guess if you look at those two periods, and maybe the current period, one of the things that you see is they're mid cycle economically. Yeah, so we've had a recession in each case. We come out of the recession. Precious metals and other commodities were recovering. It got to a certain point. We're halfway through the economic expansion, and you just sort of get into the Sargasso Sea of quietness that, you know, takes a while to break out of. And so we have seen it before, and we'll probably see it again.
What caused the markets to break after those other times that you just mentioned of those sideways moves?
Yeah, you know, I have to admit that I'm not quite too clear on what was going on in 84, 85, 86. But I do know that, you know, you had sort of a shift in attitudes toward the dollar, which was rising at the time. And people, it continued to rise for a couple of years, but people were starting to say, wait a second, the dollar's too high, it's too strong. And you started to see some people cycling out of commodities. So you had a dip down, and then you had the prices come back up more sharply in 85, 86, 87. And you know, in 95, 96, 97, the gold price was pretty much range bound, as was silver, And then you had the Briex scandal, and that pushed gold prices down for several years before they started rising again. You know, ultimately, they've risen as you got into the late stages of an economic cycle and investors started cycling out of stocks and bonds into gold and silver.
So what about the U.S. dollar, though? You bring up a good point there, where right now we are still hearing people say the U.S. dollar is too high, but it's not in the 100 level on the dollar index. What's your outlook?
Our outlook is that the dollar probably will be sideways, kind of volatile, with an upward bend. And the upward inclination reflects the fact that, you know, and this has changed too. Let me back up. We think that the dollar is sort of where it was in 1984 in terms of cyclicality, in that, yeah, there are a lot of people starting to say, hey, this thing looks like it's top heavy and it could come down. But the reality is that it could go up for another, you know, 12, 15 months before you start to see it go down, which is what happened back then. One of the things that we're watching with dollar is up until this year, the Fed was liquidating its bond portfolio. And when it does that, that sucks dollars out of circulation. Now, because there's so much debt in the world, not just the U.S. government debt, but private debt and other governments' debt that's denominated in dollars, the debtors need dollars to service that debt. And what we saw was, you know, maybe a 10% decline in the Fed's balance sheet over the last year, year and a half. And that was sucking out, you know, several hundred billion dollars worth of dollars from circulation. And that was one of the factors that's been pushing the gold, the dollar exchange rate up, was that debtors needed a flow of dollars in order to service their debt. Now, the Fed has said that it's pulling back from reducing its balance sheet and raising interest rates, at least for a while. So that could put cap on the dollar. But insofar as the dollar, you know, represents 62% of monetary reserves held by governments and probably 75% of private sector wealth, there's a need for the dollar that will keep the dollar higher and possibly move it somewhat higher yet before we see it come down sometime down the road.
All right, Jeff, let's also talk about something you and I were chatting about off mic, and that is the problem with the metals trading side of things. Some of these issues transcend just simply the fundamentals of these actual metals. Can you share some of the details, what you've been talking to some of these other groups that are looking at these metal sectors?
Yeah, you know, I think the regulatory environment is really causing problems, not just for the metals industry, but across industries. And we're seeing that in various sectors. So, for example, as I was saying off mic, you know, we were talking to the jewelry manufacturers, and they have a real problem because the U.S. government has this rule that says if you can't certify that the gold in your jewelry was mined in America, you know, you bought it from a refinery. Where did that refinery get the metal? You have no idea. Oh, you know, that gold might have been in Cleopatra's, you know, rings 5,000 years ago or 3,000 years ago. You know, you don't know where that gold's coming from. You can't say that jewelry was made in America. So we were talking to the jewelry industry, and they were having these problems with gold and silver. And, you know, our point is it's not just jewelry, it's not just gold and silver. This made-in-America rule that the United States is living under, which is much more severe than the rest of the world is living under. The rest of the world has reached an agreement that allows people to continue to do business. But the U.S. has taken a much more stern and comprehensive and restrictive regulation. And so it's kind of grinding the jewelry industry to a halt. And what our comment was, you have to step outside of the jewelry industry and get like the National Association of Manufacturers to complain about it, which has happened in the past. But you're seeing, you know, increased regulations on the financial markets, both on the buy side and on the sell side. And you're finding, institutional investors like afraid to talk to people. We're finding, you know, we have one client that sells our research to institutional investors, and they've become so overly protective to make sure that they don't wind up providing inside information that they are having trouble getting consultants like CPM Group allowing us to talk to their clients because, you know, CPM Group talks to people around the world throughout the precious metals industries, from producers to refiners to users to investors. And people have to rely on our integrity and our ethics to not tell them confidential information. And we have a 40-year record of doing that and maintaining confidences long beyond when we were legally responsible to continue doing so. But there's this legalistic tendency to say, no, we just can't trust anybody's ethics anymore, so therefore this consultant who knows stuff about these markets must not speak to our institutional investor clients. And you're finding this, you know, across the board. We have one of the largest precious metals hedge funds. It took them 6 months to open an account just to buy gold on a standard, you know, T+2 basis where, you know, I'll agree to buy gold from you, on day one. I wire your money to your bank account on day two. You get the money and you release the gold on day three, the third, you know, the second day after we've made the trade. And it took them 6 months to open that account with a major refinery, you know, being a major hedge fund. So what you're finding is that transactions are becoming more expensive and more difficult to undertake. And people are getting frustrated and just walking away.
So how does this leave, or where does this leave the, like, retail investor, or the little guy in this? It sounds like there's stuff going very much against them. So kind of hard for the little guy to win out, isn't it?
The little guy is up on the hill watching the fires burn in the valley. and that's probably where he's always been, and that's where he is today. You know, he's just sort of watching this and saying, yeah, okay, not even the really big institutional investors can get quality information and make informed decisions. What am I supposed to do?
All right, Jeff, we're going to wrap it up there. It's always great having you on the show, and I hope everybody enjoyed this first hour. If you want to get in touch, please email me, fleck@kereport.com. I love hearing from all of you, our listeners. Please share with me any trading ideas that you have, any companies you want me to look into, and always listen to those company interviews that I have every week, which are also outlined at the bottom of the posting for the weekend show. Jeff, great chatting with you. Thank you for all you do for the CPM Group, and thank you for sharing your insights in the resource sector. Have a great rest of your weekend there, Jeff.
For our upcoming appearance schedule, visit kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back in just a moment. You haven't experienced yogurt until you've tried Amasi, embodying health and flavor in a true whole milk, green-fed dairy beverage. Every sip pays homage to our old-world cows and the ancient culturing methods their milk benefits from. With over 30 probiotics, Amasi's undeniably nutritious, refined, cultured sensation bolsters your health and awakens your passion for dairy. Amasi's so good, and you need to try it. Contact your Youngevity distributor or call 877-878-4203 or go to gcnteam.com.
Join me, George Norrie, in Indian Wells, California, May 31st to June 3rd for the Contact in the Desert UFO Conference, an epic weekend of exploration into ancient aliens, human origins, crop circles, and UFO sightings. More than 100 lectures, panels, workshops, and events with leading experts like Giorgio Tsoukalos, David Wilcock, Linda Moulton Howe, Eric Von Doniken, Doc Wallach, and so many more. Get your tickets today at contactinthedesert.com. It's time to make contact. Contactinthedesert.com.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Bacon lovers, we ship free. Try our amazing bacon. No refrigeration required. Proprietary value-added packaging provides 10-year shelf life and protects the leanest, thickest, center-cut, fully cooked bacon in America today. Ready to eat right from the pouch or warm and serve. Savory and delicious. Wholesale price for your everyday use. Order today at ReadyToEatBacon.com. ReadyToEatBacon.com.